Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Land Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Producing
the Leslie T. Show. Travis. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
We're all here. I guess everybody survived the storms last night.
I slept right through them.
We had storms last night. Yeah.
Never heard a thing.
No, I didn't. And I figured it'd be cooler, but it was just more humid this morning when I stepped out.
Well, the front hadn't got here yet. That's the outside edge of it.
Okay.
Storms come through first, and we'll get our cooling down in the back end.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, sure will. I'm ready for winter already.
Give it a couple of days. It'll be back.
Up. I'm ready. I'm grown accustomed to it. Well, it is Sunday. The Rockets lost. They laid an egg last night. That's the first time this year the Timberwolves have beat them.
By like 20 or something like that. I didn't check the final score, but yeah, it was something big.
Yeah, we couldn't even hit a three-point shot last night. We just had an off game. Astros didn't. And bats are hot. They are heated up, and pitching still good.
Reddick Grand Slam.
Yeah, another one. That's two this year, isn't it?
Two this month, yeah.
Yeah.
He, like at the second That's or third.
Third of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a solo homer after that.
Yep. He was the batting hero last night.
I think he's seeing the ball pretty good. He's able to slow everything down and see the rotation on that ball. You can hit it a long ways when you can do that.
Hmm.
Really can. All right, folks, we're all here, man. It is Open Land Fun Sunday. Phone lines are actually open with no one on. But if you care to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you at 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Sponsors for today's show, Hookspit Performance Rods, the Belleville Meat Market, Bauman Marine Service, Mainstream Marketing, CCA Star Tournament, Primeway Federal Credit Union, Boyd's One Stop, and Skeeter's Auto Service. 69 in Galveston right now, and they're showing a 70% chance of rain, but yeah, I think that's pretty much over and gone with, or even gone and over with. Dew point 69, humidity's 100%, barometric pressure's 29.91 inches and falling. And shows the average wind speed at 11.5 miles per hour with wind gust at west at 40.3 miles per hour. That's probably when those storms cleared through and, pushed off the coast there. UV index today is going to be very high on a scale of 10. And looks like partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this morning, then sunny in the afternoon. Highs will be in the lower 70s. Northwest winds will be 10 to 20 miles per hour.
That's kicking pretty good, especially since you add them together. And
that's probably what you'll get.
Yeah. Offshore from high on the Matagorda Ship Channel at 60 nautical miles for today. Northwest winds 15 to 20 knots, seas 4 to 6 feet with occasional seas up to 7. Chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. And Monday, north winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming northwest 5 to 10 in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3 feet. And it looks like, just trying to look when the wind shifted around, Tuesday it's north 5 to 10, Wednesday it's northeast 5 to 10, Thursday it's north 5 to 10. Huh. Looks like we got a north wind most of the week.
Good. Go get in the surf.
And at the buoy, 22 nautical miles east of the, see if I can pull it up, east of the Galveston jetties. We have a west-southwest wind at 18, gusting to 22. Barometric pressure is 29.89 and rising. Wave height 3.6 feet. Dominant wave period every 6 seconds. Water temp 69 degrees.
Tides, we're on a two-tide schedule still. We have a low that just occurred at the Galveston Channel at 3:37 a.m. It was an 0.0. It's just tad above that negative pull, but still a strong outgoing anyway. Then our high today is at 12:32 p.m. It's a 1.6. Sunrise this morning, 6:46 a.m. Sunset this evening, 7:50 p.m. And our moon phase is 37%. Right now at Eagle Point, it's west-northwest at 5, gusting to 8, 68-degree water. Galveston Pleasure Pier, 72-degree water with west-southwest winds at 7. And at Morgan's Point, 68-degree water with a west wind at 5. So it's winds are down right now until that front clears the coast. So it'll all be good. Be fine to go. All right, well, that's it. There's your weather and sponsors and tides and rain and wind. And we're here. Open line Sunday. As the storms clear the coast. All right. Call us 713. I need somebody to talk to. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Well, I mean, what you got, Benny?
Man, I don't have too much. I've been kind of laid up in the house there trying to do physical therapy and get this knee pulled back into shape. But itching to go. Itching to go. Itching just to get out and go anywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, me too.
You too, huh?
That's all I do is go.
Just go, huh?
Yeah, I'm itching to lay back. I enjoy watching the Astros in the evening, just kicking back, watching the ball game, chilling out. I didn't watch the Rockets last night. I kept flipping back and forth, and it just, you could just see it in them. They just didn't have that ump you normally see out of them. It just, they couldn't make any of their threes.
Had a down night, man.
Yeah, usually when you can't make threes, you just go ahead and work it inside and, shoot from the perimeter and everything, try to make twos.
Yeah.
If you make all your twos, it's hard for somebody to beat you. But they throw those threes up. When they're raining in, you can just blow somebody out, but it didn't happen last night.
Mm.
Timberwolves blew us out. So, but it's basketball. It's going to be a long. I mean, it takes forever to get the basketball playoffs.
Doesn't it though? It seems like they go on and on and on. Yeah.
It's worse than the Final Four.
Mm.
We had a caller, but we didn't have one. Oh well. No, not much going on, other than I went and did a little freshwater fishing this week and. Just waiting for the wind to lay down and go saltwater fishing this upcoming week.
Man, you about got me drooling at the mouth about that bass fishing you did the other day.
Well, it's just it's different. It's a change.
Yeah. And what kind of baits did you use when you were crank baits, rattle traps?
Well, we started out with rattle traps, and
uh-huh.
Then we went to swim baits, and we went to what I like to fish with, worms, mm-hmm. Worm fishing. I enjoy that. All right, well, we have a caller, a live one, on one. Let's go to Justin. Justin, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Mickey. I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
I was looking forward to that wind coming out of the north this week, and if I did get a chance to fish the surf, I'd like to try to throw that Lily in the surf, and my only concern with that is it being a $15 lure, losing one of those things, and I was thinking about putting a steel leader on there. Do you think that would affect that, the way that lure works?
Or the way it fishes? Yeah, it'd kill action of it. You can't get it down and get it to walk and talk and do all those. No, it'd kill most of the action on it, but you could try it. I mean, use some, you just got to have something limp enough. You know, you don't want anything like regular. I'd use steel on or something like that and maybe put a snap on the end of it to clip it on with or something maybe where you can get some kind of action out of it. But if you go to straight wire, it's just going to kill it.
And, Well, last thing I want is one of them, a Spanish Mac or something, breaking that thing off.
Well, that's the drawback of, you know, fishing in the surf. I mean, it's the same thing as throwing a $10 fat boy out there or a $10 super spook. You know, you never know what's going to take it away from you.
Right.
I mean, what's $5 these days?
Yeah.
Can't even get a can of Copenhagen for $5 anymore.
Ain't that the truth?
Can't buy a pack of cigs for $5.
I've spent more than $5 by the time I passed Bucky's there in Freeport.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't even walk down the end of your driveway if it don't cost you $5, man. That's we were talking about that the other night, how, you know, the difference from, you know, when I grew up and the kid, I mean, your dad would give you a dollar to go to the movie show and tell you to bring back the change. Bring back the change.
You made money walking alongside the road picking up a bottle so you could turn them in for a nickel apiece.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well.
Well, Mickey, I appreciate the time, sir.
Well, good luck with that, Lee. Hey, just take a chance. I mean, most of those Macs, they're around at Jetties right now anyway. Maybe you can get a clean school in the surf where you got nothing but, you know, trout and reds. No Spanish Macs, man. Toothy critters.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye. Yeah, that, you always think about that. Let's go to two. We got a couple of minutes before the break. Button stick. Look at that. It won't come. Jeremy, you're on the Outdoor Show. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Captain Mickey, Captain Benny?
Not a whole lot. What's up?
Hey, man, I just wanted to wish all the kids good luck on the Hooksmith Junior Angler Association Redfish Tournament this morning.
That's
my daughter out. She's passed out in the back seat right now. I just loaded the boat up behind the truck and headed to the store to get some snacks for her.
Boy, she's fired up.
She was fired up yesterday, and she's passed out now. It's a little early for her.
Yeah. Well, that's fishing, man. That was the hardest thing, getting these kids to get out of bed and, you know, get enthusiastic and fired up at 4 o'clock in the morning. That is quite a task.
Yeah.
I know it was for me.
You know, my dad did it with me when I was a kid, so I'm passing it on to mine. Try to get her out as much as possible. You know, she's won a couple of flounder tournaments for Wade. And a big shout-out to Wade and Hookspit and all the guys over there. Love what they do for the kids.
They do a good job, don't they? That's my hat's off to them.
Yeah. But I just want to call in and wish all the kids good luck. And looks like the weather might hold out a little bit. Looks like that rain pushed through. But we're going to go try and give them hell.
Yeah, you got to... Northwest wind going to come up about 10 to 15, they say. You might want to add those together, and you may get a 20 to 25 once it really kicks in. But that's what they're calling for, you know. Get you a little wind coming up. But, hey, good luck to you.
If it don't blow, we don't go.
Well, that's true. Yeah. It's if it blows, I don't even go anymore. You can tell,
that's right.
You can tell I'm getting old.
Hell, yeah.
if our water was in good shape everywhere, you can do that. But
I wasn't going to say that, but you're getting on up there, ain't you, Mickey?
Yeah, I am. I'm just not that mad at them anymore. I mean, if we had 7-8 pounders swimming on every street corner, I'd be out there in a blizzard fishing for them.
But, I heard that.
You know, I'm not gonna go risk life and limb or be uncomfortable to catch pencils.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Speaking of the girl in the back seat, this is you know that dude Mike McTrout.
Yeah, Mike McBride. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, that's his granddaughter in the back seat.
Oh, well, cool, awesome, man. Well, good luck to you and her both, and hats off to Hookspit.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, y'all be safe out there. Okay, Jeremy. See you, man.
All right, brother.
All right, take care.
Well, I love a rainy night, I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor. Outdoor Show, 418 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go to line three and talk to Frank, see what's up. Frank, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Been a while.
It has. Morning, how you been?
Okay. I keep, you know, I listen to you all the time. I'm probably on Facebook too, so. But I got to think about something the other day. You wear like a baseball cap when you're out fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wear you know, the solid cloth ones, not the mesh ones, because it'll shine, the sun comes through and burn.
Right. Well, I have to wear, my head gets so hot, I have to wear those mesh ones so it'll breathe, man. That solid, I've always been that way. My head always gets hot. Back when I played ball and played tennis and everything else, my head would sweat before anything else would. It's like all the heat would end up going to the very top.
Yeah, when I played tennis in high school, I always had to wear a headband. What I was thinking of was this. I wear a solid one, but I always wear a light-colored one to reflect the sun.
Right.
And if you look underneath the bill, it's the same color as the hat. If you take black magic marker and color the underside of the bill with it, it won't come out real black. It'll come out kind of a dark gray. You'd be surprised at how that cuts down on the glare coming off the water.
Right. You don't want white or anything over. White creates a lot of glare. A lot of the caps we wear, those Richardsons, they have the gray underlay and green and, you know, colors like that that won't reflect and then burn your face up.
Okay, yours were already, colored. Yeah. No, I just wear, you know, ones I pick up, you know, just regular baseball caps, and so I take a black magic marker and color them, and it works like a champ.
It
looks good. How about them Strohs, huh?
How about them, man? How about that?
20 runs against one run in two games.
Yeah, that's I felt so bad for that Chicago pitcher last night, man. He could not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I hadn't picked up a ball and thrown it at a mitt in 20 years, and I think I could have got the ball across the plate better than that. Now, they may have knocked my brains out, but at least I could have thrown strikes instead of balls. That poor guy couldn't even throw a strike, man. I'm going,
no, what is he?
Hey, you know, and you, hey, I've been there. You just, golly, man, it's like you can't do anything right. I'm just going. I mean, Altuve walked on four straight balls. I think Springer did. I mean, I'm going, this is crazy. This poor guy can't get it over the plate. I mean, he was holding on to the ball too long when he would throw his curveball, and it was so far outside in the dirt. And then his fastball, he was letting go of it too. You know, his arm angle and everything was wrong. He was almost hitting the batter every pitch on a right-handed batter. And I'm going, this poor guy. And you know, all the coaches I had said, hey, man, when it's all going bad and you can't get your timing and accuracy down, either speed up your approach or slow it down. And I think he needed to speed his up a little bit. But it was good for us, though. Hey, we had a big inning off of him, and we were off to the races, man. Keuchel had the pressure off of him right off the bat.
Yeah, I did feel sorry for him. What was he, 6'6"? Big.
Yeah.
Big young boy. But he couldn't hit the brush out of his barn.
No, he couldn't hit a bull in the butt with a bass fiddle last night, man.
Yeah, really. Well, I think it looks like the old Yeti has put a nail in their coffin.
I saw that. I made a reply on that site that was talking about it. They're another one of the big corporations to drop the NRA. Big mistake for them, because who buys Yeti coolers? NRA members, outdoors people. That was a pretty dumb political decision.
I've got some 10 or 12-year-old 5-day igloo coolers that are they work fine. I can buy ice is cheap. Those darn Yeti coolers are outrageously priced. Everything they have is outrageous.
Yeah, you know, and everybody goes, man, you don't have a Yeti fish box? I said, well, no, because I dump my ice out every day. I mean, you know, I wash my cooler out, and I just use a regular light igloo because, hey, you fill a Yeti up with fish.
Heavy.
And go to lift it out on the dock, you got to have help. You know, with an igloo, for as little fish as I catch nowadays. I can just reach down there and grab that igloo and sling it up on a dock, you know, and drag it over to the cleaning table.
Yeah. My igloos, I've got a couple of the older ones, too, but I got these five-day ones that they came out with about, I don't know, 10 years ago. And it's still, like, brand new. And I use one. I keep one on my Toyota, and I got a couple of, a big one at home with my hunting clothes and stuff that I take up to the camp. And then if I kill something, I got room to, you know, take the clothes out and put it in.
Did you kill you a good deer this year?
Nah, I didn't even hunt this year.
You didn't?
Frank didn't hunt? I'm still running the camp.
That's all I want to know is if you had to go. I know you had to go to the woods. You ain't gonna keep Frank out.
I buy the full the big combination license every year, mm-hmm. and I get my permits and everything, and I have my hunting camp up there. But my hunting partner, his two sons hunt, and we're trying to get his one son is a helicopter pilot, and trying to get him into trying to get him to do some hog hunting, but he hasn't gotten as far yet, so we'll see.
Hella hogging.
Yeah, hella hogging.
That's good now, stuff, man.
Well, he's also a drone pilot, and he's got a drone pilot's license. And
really?
He makes more money at that than he does anything else. He has an aerial photography business that he does with his drones. I mean, he's really good, you know.
Was he in the military?
No, he's only 23 years old. Right. He got his regular pilot's license last year, and now he's about three-quarters of the way through to get his commercial license so he can fly people and things like that. But he's making money with his... he has a drone pilot's license.
Right.
When you pass all the helicopter tests and everything, you can get a drone license real easy, you know, commercial type drone license. So he does a lot of that. But he's only 20, 22, 23 years old.
I got you. You know, is there any must-have new guns come out lately that you know about? Somebody's just got to have?
No, I haven't seen too much.
I haven't either.
I pretty much haven't been buying guns too much. I bought an AR-15, one of the just a plain Jane Ruger SR-15 a couple of years ago, and that's the last gun I bought. Of course, we're on the air and it's being recorded, so I want to tell you because the darts don't want me to own guns. I've gone out and I've sold all my guns.
Do what now? You sold all your guns?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I thought you were fixing to say, yeah, I got you.
I was just kidding, but, you know, it's getting ridiculous.
I know. Thank God for Texas. All right, buddy. Well, yeah. Frank, good hearing from you, and hang in there, man.
Okay. We'll stay in touch.
All right, buddy.
We'll see.
All right, see you. Good hearing from you. All right. Hadn't heard from old Grassburger in a while.
In a while.
Yeah.
Said he sold all his guns. I about had a heart attack.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Joe and Katie on one. Joe, what's up, bud?
Just sitting there watching Supercross.
Supercross. Yeah, that was on.
Yeah, motocross racing.
Yeah, I changed channels when I got here. I put it on the outdoor channel, but Supercross was on when I got here.
I was watching it yesterday afternoon, and then I had to go one of the no turn off kids and all that where you can't find the switch on them. It was his birthday, so the ones that come over and go swimming and all.
Yeah.
So Yeti cut the NRA loose, huh?
Yeah.
Bank of America is trying to rewrite the Bill of Rights, too. They don't want to do anything with anybody that builds guns or anything.
No, that's Hey, if that's their stand, and they can afford to lose half of their customers, that's, I guess they're doing better than I am.
Yeah, Wells Fargo, they lost the teachers union because Wells Fargo wouldn't back off the Second Amendment. Wells Fargo stuck to the Second Amendment, and they'll teach you we'll pull our deal. Wow, that really hurts me. Also, when you use your Lili, when you say twitch it, what do you do? Twitch it about 4 or 5 inches?
No, it's, you know.
Just with your wrist, just pop it, basically?
Yeah, it's kind of like when I'm working a tail. You know, sometimes I'll get a little more. If I really want to get it down more, I'll drop my rod tip and kind of put it to the side and work it like a, you know, like a jerk bait. Or, you know, have you ever seen how Kevin Van Dam works a twitch bait, you know, the diver kind with a bill on them and stuff?
Where he's got it like.
Yeah, where you just put the rod basically, you know, down to your side a little bit and jerk it real hard. And, you know, with those kind of baits, you want to have slack in it before you jerk it, because you'll get a bigger jolt out of it. With a Lili, you want to stay in contact, keep the line a little bit tighter when you're doing the twitching. I usually do it. I always keep my rod pointed squared up with me and straight towards my lure. You can stay in contact with your lure better. When you start moving your rod tip to the side or whatever, and I'll just jig it upwards, but I'll hold my rod flatter and point it at the bait and then come up with it when I jig it. And that way, when you do drop your rod tip, you're turning your handle, keeping the slack out of the line. You'll feel them pick it up or push it. And a lot of times you'll just feel it kind of go slack. They'll push it when they swim up behind it and swallow it and come to you with it. And other times they hit it going the other way. It kind of depends on the angle you're throwing at them. Sometimes if they have to turn around to come get the bait or swim over from one side or the other to get to the bait. But if you got the angle of the fish, like, say, imagine if you're wading the shoreline and the wind's blowing off the bank and all the fish are facing into the wind at an angle. Well, if you can get that angle on your cast where you cast past the fish and then pull back through them, where all they got to do is kick it in gear and follow the lure straight to you instead of having to turn sideways or turn around and go after it, that's a more practical way to draw a lot more strikes. But
I guess I'll try it out in my swimming pool and see how well it works.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. And I like being low with it. Like when you're wading in the water, you're low profile, and you can get it down a little better. Now, out of the boat, then that's when you have to put your rod tip down and jig it sideways and all that to get that bait to go down a couple of feet before you stop it and let it start wobbling back up.
So you pretty much use that lure just in like 6 feet or less?
Yeah, I primarily throw it in, you know, 5 feet of water or less. I really like it in anything from 18 inches to 4 feet. You can't go wrong with it. You're gonna draw strikes like crazy with it. You know, it's like throwing. We used to throw thunder sticks and stuff like that out of the boat, and you know, it. When you're twitching that bait through those fish and getting it all sideways and all that action you put on it, you're gonna draw reaction strikes like crazy. We used to do that really good. You know, but you got to have the water clarity too.
What do you think's the best color?
Man, jury's still out on that one.
Pink, yellow, or
man, some guys are liking just the old banana colored chartreuse. Bill Watkins likes that over there, I'm throwing the 08. You know, the number 8, the 08H. That's the black back with the holographic sides and kind of a grayish undertone belly on it, and I call that one the Mari special. That's the one he likes too. And I've caught them on they've got a kind of a pearl color that's real good with a real good flash on the side of it.
Yeah, that's the one I think I got. It's kind of a whitish looking.
Yeah,
that's the one they had. It's the only one they had left at the fishing show.
Bob Hardy got me a couple of new colors. He gave them to me the other day. And the last time I fished with one. And it's a pink back with a chartreuse belly and the holographic side on it. And that one worked pretty good. And it was it worked a little different. I noticed out of the two, one of them barely sinks. It won't float. And when you get one that'll kind of sink a little bit, man, it really works good.
But do you think it's messed up? Because color wouldn't change it, I wouldn't think.
No, it. I had two identical colors. One would float, and the other one would just barely sink. I mean, it'd go about an inch under the water and sit there. And the other one would float with the tail down.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I guess the way the weight or the rattle chamber is positioned in it, I don't know. Maybe it's
that lure's got a leak or something.
No, it doesn't have a leak. That was straight out of the package it did that.
All right, how's your knee doing, Benny?
Knee's doing okay.
Ready to do some kickboxing?
Not quite that okay.
Tap dancing, Fred Astaire.
Run some stairs.
Yeah. I noticed after the third surgery on my left knee, well, even after the first one, walking down steep inclines, steep hill, or going downstairs is way worse than going up.
Going up, that's right.
Boy, I'd like to kill me at the U.S. Open at Bethpage on that goat ranch we had to walk back in 09. Golly.
Goat ranch.
And I mean, it's a goat ranch for the spectators. What they did, all that real hilly terrain, they just cut the golf course through the hills. You know, the fairways and the greens and everything are relatively flat. But if you're walking the outside of the course following a group, you better I needed steel cleats on like I used to play ball in to keep them sliding down those hills. It rained the whole time we were there. And, boy, my knee was messed up for about 2 weeks after that tournament. Golly.
Yeah. I saw Phil Mickelson made it to Barbara Bush's funeral yesterday.
Isn't that something? Bless her heart. God rest her soul. She's the promised land now.
Yep. Classy lady.
I rode down to Cabela's yesterday and picked up some order that I'd ordered and all that. Coming back to Memorial Park, there was tons of policemen
in that area.
And also, I wonder what, with Bass Pro Shop and all that, whenever you sign up for one of their credit cards, it's Bank America. I'd like to see old Johnny Morris tell them I'll go find some other credit card.
Oh, they don't want to mess with him. Yeah, they don't want to mess with him.
You know. Because Cabela's, they have their own credit card, I think, pretty much.
All right, Joe, I got to hook him. I'm on a break, man. I got to roll. All right, buddy. Have a good Sunday. Bye. See you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 440 in the Bayou City, Open Line Fun Sunday. And looks like it's going to be a nice day. All the rain's heading to the east, getting out.
Maybe we'll get a little sunshine.
Yeah, I like sunshine.
I like sunshine, too, and I hadn't seen it in a while.
They're showing that guy fishing with a weightless, wacky rig. And where you just use the little O-ring, rubber O-ring, put it on the middle of the worm, and then take your weedless, you know, weeder hook, you know, with a weed guard on it, short shank, wide gaps, stick it through the worm and underneath that rubber O-ring and then close the weeder. And looks pretty natural. You know, I wonder what they'd like about the wacky. You know, it's not swimming straight head first or anything. It's just
it goes against anything that you would that you've been taught. You always wanted to put that weed, that worm on that hook straight where that thing would go true. And
worm fishing is really it's almost like dead sticking.
Yeah, it is. It,
you know, I probably work my worm more than a lot of people do, but I'll use a, you know, everybody uses a pretty stiff, heavy type rod to worm fish with, and I'm just the opposite. The rod I use will have enough backbone in it on the low end to where I can get my hook penetration when I set the hook. But I like that light tip to where I can not overwork the bait when I twitch it. You know, I can bring it out of a chunk of grass and drop it into a pothole and then just let it fall down in there. And those bass will just swim out of that grass and they'll just suck it up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we were doing the other day at Fayette County where all those beds were. And it was like a big flat and it had all these grass beds with some snot grass in it. And
You love that stuff, don't you?
Well, if you got too close to the bank, you would pick it up, and then if you got one depth about 5 feet out, you know, in 5 foot of water, you'd pick a lot of it up. But it, you know, if you tie your knot right and everything, you don't pick too much of it up. You know, another good thing, like if you're Carolina rigging and you don't want to be picking that stuff up with your swivel where you connect your lines together.
Uh-huh.
Put a bead on there.
Yeah.
A glass bead. And that'll prevent that swivel from picking up that snotgrass and all those kind of things. But we didn't do any Carolina rigging. I'm not much on that. That's basically croaker fishing, you know, kind of like fishing croakers.
Yeah.
Except you got a dead worm on there instead of a live croaker swimming around. Pretty much basic same principle. But
I never did a lot of when I was bass fishing. Never did a lot of that. Texas rig was mostly my go-to bait.
Yeah. Instead of putting the bullet weight in front of the worm, I like using the dog ear weights on the hook itself. Mm-hmm. You know, those little sinkers that you can clip on your line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll find them in 16th and 8th ounce, and you can get them in quarter and 3/16 and all that, but I'll just take that owner hook and then bury it down in that groove of that weight and then just bend the ears over it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't mash it all the way on there. Just bend the ears over, because when you have to put a new worm on, you got to take it off.
Right.
And that works real well. It lets that worm fall straight down instead of head first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then
you ever used weight forward hooks on them, where you got the it's not a jig head. You got to wait kind of in the right before you get to the bend over on the hook.
Well, that's what that dog ear does.
The dog ear does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the same thing. And that way you can thread your worm on right, because with the weight already on the hook, you can't put it on there properly. You put too big a hole in your worm won't stay up. And then usually, you know how everybody would take those Texas rig, you know, the bullet weights, and they'd just stick a toothpick in them and break them off so it wouldn't slide up and down your line.
Right.
Now they got the shaky heads, which I like better. And they're kind of hard to, you get these oily worms and you got to thread it on that screw lock on that shaky head and then put your hook through it. That gets antagonizing sometimes. My big old fingers, I'm used to threading a bait on. And you can buy those bullet weights that have the screw lock on them,
mm-hmm.
or you just put your line through them and you just screw lock your bait onto it.
Yeah.
After you get your worm through your hook and everything. So I don't know. Everybody likes to rig different. It all works. It's just what you like, what you're accustomed to. I like to rig the best way I can to eliminate having grass on my bait every time I reel it in.
That gets aggravating.
It does. I used to get so mad in South Texas, man. You'd have a good topwater bite going after a big blow, and every piece of grass and the Laguna Madre is floating all over the place down there. And you know, as soon as you'd weed up, you wouldn't get a bite, and you got to, you know. I used to break topwater, slapping them on the water, slapping that off. I'd crack them. Well, we got phone lines available. Somebody wants to call in and talk about it. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Look at that bass boat that guy's in. Man, I'd love to have a bass boat again.
Yeah.
I mean, them guys are, look at that trailer with the mag wheels and fiberglass fenders and all that metallic.
Yep.
It's all about looking good, Minnie. Can't catch them unless you look good.
You look good, you feel good. You feel good, you fish good, huh?
You got to look good, brother. If there was room, they'd have four power poles on the back of those.
I guess they would. I'm surprised they hadn't come up with something other than put them on the front.
They need to come up with one called the claw or whatever, where you push a button and three of those rods pop out and go down. You're never breaking loose. Oh, well. Well, the phone lines are lighting up. Let's go to Mark on one. He's first up. Mark, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain. And Captain Benny and Mickey, how are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, I wanted to share a nature story. I've been wanting to talk to you all about this that I experienced a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. And it was in the same, it was probably the same day that there were stories on the East Coast about people getting attacked by owls and getting attacked by some other type of bird. And I know that's pretty common. If birds are nesting and stuff, they'll attack you. But this was quite different. I was sitting in the back patio, and it was a beautiful day. I mean, it was a clear day. It was in the late afternoon. I was kicked back on garden chair, and I was, my arms were draped over the chair, and I had a white shirt.
Yeah.
And I was just laying there. And then from my periphery, I guess about 200 feet up, I saw something coming into view, and it was right over me. And at first I thought it looked like a kite, you know, a brown kite, because the wings were folded in.
Yeah, he was dive bombing. It was a dive bomber, man.
Yeah, I had never. I saw him face to face almost. I mean, when he realized it was just a fat Mexican with a white shirt, he took a right, and I saw him, and I said, "My God, this is what the prey feels like," because I couldn't tell what it was by the shape.
Had to be a hawk.
Like I said, I was puzzled.
It was in the daytime, right?
Yeah, it had to be a hawk. Yeah, it was a red-tailed hawk. I saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, I realized what it was after it swooped to the right. But my goodness, that was like, what's going on? And then I heard the stories about birds attacking humans. And I thought, could this be, this animal maybe had some bad vision or by the shirt, he probably thought it was a crane laying there or something?
Because I don't know.
My arms look like wings, I guess, from 200 feet up. But I mean, they have exceptional eyesight. But I don't know. I just wanted to share that. I told my family. I said, "Man, I was attacked by a hawk."
So
you know?
You're just laying there watching all this come straight at you like that. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
I'm just laying. I'm resting, and then I'm opening my eyes, and my periphery. This thing swings in, and I said, "Hey, somebody's flying a kite," because the wings were fluttering like a kite. And I said, I couldn't tell by the shape. Does is it? Wow, that was almost as
yeah. When they pin those wings back like that and start that dive mode, I don't know how many miles per hour they get going in a dive. It's incredible. Now you know how those the Iraqi Republican Guard felt with those F-18s and everything else flying
exactly.
on over there, man. That's
see that those stars and stripes. Yeah,
I'm telling you, birds of prey, raptors are incredible. You know, they're just.
Oh yeah, man,
I love watching them work, man.
Oh, big time! Then we saw an eagle here. I called in a while back about the eagle here mm-hmm. on North McGregor, which was, I mean, it was such a beautiful sight seeing it swoop down in the braes and a majestic bird, just like
the
this
majestic
guy.
Bird. I was gonna, you took words out of my mouth. There's nothing like an eagle, man. They are so fine.
Oh yeah, the birds in general. I mean, I got a lot of birds out here by UH. I've seen quite a few different kinds. Of course, not like around Anahuac where you live, you know. But of course, I've seen some migratory birds come through here. I even seen a ring-tailed lemur walking through my backyard on the wire. And you know, I called the zoo and I told them, I said, "Are you sure it was a ring-tailed lemur? Wasn't a possum?" I said, "No, it was. I see enough NOVA. I mean, National Geographic." To know what a ring-tailed lemur looks like. And it walked one way, and then it walked back the other the following night. Then I didn't see it after that. So I don't know. It could have been a pet or no telling. You know, there's been a lot of things that I've seen here in this neighborhood.
Right.
But of course, Bray's Body used to be a swamp, so you've got all kinds of...
Oh, yeah.
There was a coyote here not too long ago.
Oh, the city of Houston's full of coyotes.
Oh, yeah, big time.
They're just nocturnal, and they lay up in the day, but, boy, they're out at night. I see them all the time driving in here to work in the middle of the night.
All right
man, I got another call I got to get, Mark.
Okay, keep it up, guys.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You
bye.
Too, man.
Thank you.
Later. Bye. All right, let's go to Tim real quick on two. Tim, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you?
Great. And you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Woke 6 foot up, not 6 foot down, so it's always a good
thing. That's always a plus, my friend.
Hey, I keep hearing you talk about Belleville, the meat market, and me and my wife are actually going to make a trip up there in a couple weeks. And I was just curious, do they sell, I know they can't sell whitetail, of course, but do they sell any of the more exotic wild game meat?
You can buy venison sausage there. You can buy it in their summer sausage and some of their breakfast links and their smoked sausage, all of it. They've got a counter. When you come in the front door, it's all the way to the back wall on the right. There's a small counter there with wild game meat there, and then their other sausage products are on the big meat counter in the meat market there. So,
yeah. And the second question is, I just got turned on to braiding line this year, and my fishing season has not been the most wonderful. We'll leave it at that. But anyhow, I heard that you needed to tie your knots a little different with the braided line than you do the mono.
No, all these braids now, the diameter of it and everything with the coatings on them, you tie whatever knot you tied with mono, it'll work with braid. Like, an improved clinch works great with braid. A polymer knot works great with braid. And then when you're attaching line to it, whether you use a blood knot, a uni knot, an Albright knot, whatever, they all work. And you just got to tie them properly.
So I guess that what they was talking about was maybe some of the earlier braid.
To hear about it back in the day where it would slip, you know, but they just weren't cinching it down good, I guess. I don't know. I've never had braid untie on me or slip or any of that. Never.
Okay, because I'm getting ready to hopefully get out and get in some of these bull reds, and hopefully if these trout will ever start running right, get in the middle of them and do something.
Yeah, we'll just get the weather to tone down, and we'll get back to our business, at hand. Yeah, you bet. All right.
That's going to be an act of God to get that. Well, hey, I appreciate it, guys. I know y'all are in a hurry.
All right, see you, man. Take care.
All right, bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.